Good afternoon. My name is Kim Glass, and I'm the executive director of the Blue-Green Alliance. The Blue-Green Alliance opposes fast-track authority because it takes away Congress's power to provide a system of checks and balances and hangs workers out to dry and would degrade our environmental standards. This bill is very relevant today as into the future. The House Ways and Means Committee is in the middle of marking up the fast-track trade authority. Last night, the Senate Finance Committee considered this bill. Last week, the Blue-Green Alliance, with our partners and our allies, with over 1,200 partners and allies, rallied against fast-track trade authority on Capitol Hill. It's time for our voices to be heard today before the House Ways and Means Committee considers this full measure. Our message is very loud and clear. Congress must say no to fast-track. Many members of Congress, labor unions, environmental organizations, and other stakeholders have been sounding the alarm bells in recent months and for many years that trade deals drafted behind closed doors without the light of day is something that we certainly cannot support. Fast-track allows Congress to excuse themselves from their constitutional right to monitor international trade. Average citizens have no access to what's going on. This is a theme that we heard not only from Senator Brown, but other senators last night and House members today. It's time for Ways and Means Committee members and all members of Congress to think twice before rubber stamping another trade deal behind closed doors. We elect our members of Congress to advocate for the creation of good-paying jobs, to ensure workers' rights are protected, and to protect our environment. We have many fantastic speakers on the phone today. I'd like to get to them first. So now I'm going to hand it over to Leo Gerard, the International President of the United Steelworkers. Leo?
Thank you very much, Kim. And I know that we have a lot of speakers, so I'll try to be concise and brief. First thing is that the Congress shouldn't fast-track, and that if they pass this trade deal and ram it through, as they appear to be trying to do with the Republican leadership, we need to keep in mind that, as I said when I was privileged to be up on the Hill last week, we need to make our judgment based on history and let history be our guide. There has not been a trade deal that's been passed with or without fast track that has resulted in net job gains for American workers or net upward pressure for wages. In fact, it's been the opposite. There's been net job loss. There's been accumulating record-breaking trade deficits month after month, year after year. And in addition to that, it provided downward pressure on jobs. And I can tell you from a manufacturing union that it's a regular occurrence to go into negotiations and get told by our employers, well, we have to meet the China price, or we're getting pushed by South Korea, or we have these problems with Mexico, where $138 billion of auto parts were shipped from China and Asia last year into the auto assembly market. And we should keep in mind that this fast-track bill is scheduled to last for 6 years. It's not just on this piece of legislation that they want it, on TPP. They, in fact, want this to last 6 years. And we all know that there's other pieces of negotiations that are going on, the TTIP with Europe that we haven't seen much of, the bit that they're negotiating on services with China. So there's a whole number of things at stake here, where if they were to ram this fast-track bill through, it's not just for TPP, as bad as that is. It, in fact, will last for other trade agreements that we will never see the light of day. And as we can see that, you know, Congress normally, far too often in the last 7 or 8 years, kicked the can down the road when it comes to federal highway funding. They kicked the can down the road when it comes to infrastructure rebuilding. Congress should focus on that, on passing an infrastructure provision, on passing a highway bill that would end up putting millions back to work. They should be looking at the kinds of things they can do by reducing carbon emissions and creating millions of green jobs that all could be done, rather than trying to ram another rotten trade deal down our throat. And, you know, two things I said I can say again. Let history be their guide. And secondly, let the American public, if you're so convinced that this is going to be a good trade deal, let the American public see it. Let the American public advise their members of Congress what they would like to see happen if this deal is so good. And lastly, but not least, all of the programs that where USTR or someone else will say, well, we've dealt with that, they're all aspirational. They're all objectives, and there's no commitment to reach those objectives. There's no timeline to reach those objectives. And if we look again at history being our guide, there were these kind of aspirational objectives in almost every trade deal that's been passed, and none of them have been met. So, Kim, those are the positions that our union has taken, and we're going to work real hard, and we're going to hold members of Congress accountable. So I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Leo. And now I'd like to introduce Mike Broom, the Executive Director of the Sierra Club. Mike?
Thanks, Kim. Hi, everybody. And as you just heard, I am Michael Broom, Executive Director of the Sierra Club. We are a founding member of the Blue-Green Alliance, and I'm glad to be back on the phone with my colleagues today, who just last week held the 8th annual Good Jobs, Green Jobs Conference in Washington, D.C. And we look at that conference as the antidote to fast-track authority and to many of the trade agreements that we've seen over the last couple decades. What we saw at the conference was environmentalists, union workers, and other allies all coming together to share our vision of a clean energy economy that includes a just and reasonable transition from fossil fuels to protect both working families and all of us from climate disruption while creating millions of family-supporting clean energy jobs. But we're back together today because of a toxic trade bill called Fast Track that threatens that vision for a just clean energy economy. We know that Fast Track is toxic for the American economy. It's also toxic for our air, our water, our climate, and it's toxic for Congress. Fast Track would rush a dangerous trade deal, dangerous trade deals through Congress, deals that would hurt working families, would ship jobs overseas, and would decrease American wages. And these same trade deals would hurt our access to clean air, protections for clean water, and undermine years of work to address climate disruption. So rather than seize a new and historic opportunity to create a new model of trade that would deliver actual benefits for communities and for workers in the environment, this bill, this fast track bill, simply replicates an old and failed model of trade authority. We believe deeply that if Congress passes Fast Track, they would be abdicating their duty as representatives. We believe that Fast Track strips away the ability of Congress to provide vitally important oversight and protection for trade deals, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has been negotiated completely behind closed doors and still kept under lock and key. What we do know, mostly from leaked text, is that the Trans-Pacific Partnership would not protect our environment and would harm our air and our water and our climate. The United States, what we know is that while some of the administration tout the benefits of the deal's still secret environment chapter, there is very little reason to believe that whatever rules TPP countries ultimately agree to in this chapter will ever actually be enforced. Why do we say that? It's because the United States has never once brought a single trade case against another country for failing to live up to its environmental obligations and free trade deals. Why should we believe that they would start now? And at the same time, there are provisions in other parts of the deal that would overwhelm any potential benefits of the environment chapter. Even if the environment chapter was enforced, which it has never been before, the investor state dispute settlement rules would allow multinational corporations, including big polluters, to sue our government in private trade courts by claiming that our clean air and clean water and climate safeguards reduce their profits. Congress would not have a say on those critical issues if Fast Track were approved. That's why on behalf of the Sierra Club's 2.4 million members and supporters who fight every day to protect the planet for their kids and for future generations, we oppose this Fast Track bill. The Sierra Club will work with our allies, and we will do everything that we can to defeat this bill. And we call on members of Congress to clean up toxic trade, and they should start by rejecting Fast Track. Back to you, Kim.
Thank you, Michael. And now to Peter Lehner, the Executive Director of National Resource Defense Council.
Thanks, Kim, and thanks to everyone who's taken the time to listen to this. You've heard that these two pending trade agreements could have enormous impacts on our bedrock environmental laws, public health laws, and conservation laws, as well as, of course, the people who build our economy. And that's really why we oppose Fast Track, which would give essentially a blank check with no way to ensure that the trade agreements that it later allows for will become law and in ways that won't undercut these protections. And we understand the challenges and pressures of trade negotiations are enormous. We also know that our country has worked for decades to build up and enforce basic environmental and public health protections. Indeed, this administration is continuing to do so, for example, leading on measures to cut climate change, mercury, and other pollution. So now is not the time to go backwards and undercut those important protections. The real issue here is that we don't know exactly what's in these proposed trade deals. Normally, before a law or rule is passed that can affect us deeply, there's public opportunity. Laws are debated in Congress, rules are published, and people can comment, and there's an open process. That doesn't happen with Fast Track. It all happens behind closed doors. So we actually don't know exactly what is out there. But we have seen through leaks and through other means some amount of what is in these deals. And what we've seen gives us a lot of concern. For example, companies would have expanded rights to challenge our environmental laws in a special trade tribunal outside the U.S. court system through the new investor state dispute settlement mechanism, which would allow companies that could challenge laws and regulations here that or in other good countries, but challenge laws and regulations that they say infringes their investment, even though we say they're protecting our health and environment. We're also concerned from what we've seen that safeguards against dangerous chemicals, rather than being harmonized upward, could face a race to the bottom. And that is a real challenge for all of us, given this global economy. And our food protections could be at risk if there are, again, ceilings put on food safety standards or put additional burdens on government regulators to prove, say, beyond a reasonable doubt that food and animal welfare safeguards are necessary. So there's a lot of burdens that we've seen that could make significant changes and undercut our own ability that has been built up for decades to protect our country's environment, our public health. Now, to be honest, there are some improvements we've seen on conservation issues, but we've also seen that those provisions could be watered down or leaked to the point that they won't noticeably change things. There could be some good provisions on wildlife trade and fishery subsidies, but those provisions can no way make up for the remaining defects in the agreement. So I want to be clear, there are some good things, but not overall what we've seen, and we haven't seen a lot of it, gives us a lot of concern. My last point would just be to remember that this is not a small deal. It's a big deal for the U.S., and it's a big deal for the planet. The countries, for example, in the Trans-Pacific Partnership include some of the largest carbon emitters in the world, including Japan, Australia, and the U.S., as well as major emerging emitters such as Vietnam and Peru. And the agreement is what's called a docking agreement, so a long list of countries would like to join after the agreement is finalized. Many of them are major emitters. So this deal, this fast track, which then affects these trade deals, can have an enormous impact for our country and our world. And that's why they require the same type of open debate that all other approaches, all our other laws and regulations normally get. So that's why we are very concerned and have to try to make sure that these significant deals don't happen, that we don't write a blank check for these trade agreements. And that's why we're opposing Fast Track. So thank you very much, and back to you, Kim.
Thanks, Peter. And George Cole, the Senior Director of the Communication Workers of America. George?
Thanks, Kim, and thanks for being on this call, everybody. And going forth here, I can be very short and say ditto, 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 and be done. But let me also say that as the Communication Workers of America, we're part of a broad movement of workers, environmentalists, and people of faith, consumers, and community activists who are opposing this deal. We have members who do work like Leo's in manufacturing who are told, as he said, at the bargaining table, meet the China price or we're going to close it down. And that ripples out to the service sector where we represent workers as well, where they're told the same thing. If you can't work for $12 an hour, we're going to ship the jobs overseas. This ripples through our communities, and we see the destruction in our communities with the decline in infrastructure. We talk to our colleagues at the Bus Workers Union, and they talk about ridership declines of 30 and 50% in some of the cities that are destroyed by bad trade deals. And as Leo said, this fast-track process is being fast-tracked itself. Fast Track, or the Trade Promotion Authority, is supposed to set congressional priorities and negotiating objectives. That's a fallacy in this case, because you've had the TPP being negotiated for nearly 6 years, and it borders on fraud to come with a bill now to say that the Congress is going to be setting priorities. Furthermore, as Mike said, the bill that's being proposed by the administration and by Hatch and Ryan is a bill that sets aspirational goals. There's no mechanisms for enforcement, and so that these goals are simply aspirational. And as my colleague Peter said, this is like a charter for corporate America. This allows foreign corporations to sue the United States if, in fact, you know, standards rise. The paradigm of this trade agreement just put forward is the same as the NAFTA paradigm. It's cost 700,000 jobs that did NAFTA. Even Korea, which was just recently passed, cost us 70,000 jobs. And in the mechanisms of dispute resolution, we can say two things. One, we can say that they, meaning people supporters of the trade deal, say we've talked to labor, we've gotten all this input from labor, and that's patently just untrue. Lots of meetings, but no real input. And in terms of dispute resolution, what we have to do is we complain to the United States government, who then complains to the other government in the other country. The AFL-CIO plus the unions in Guatemala complained about the country of Guatemala not maintaining minimum rights, not allowing trade unions to organize, and in fact, that's code for people who are being murdered. 6 years went by before the U.S. Trade Representative brought that case. Contrast that with the availability to foreign corporations to sue for reparations, to sue the country to say that you violated my rights for the future profits, and you see a night and day, an unequal treatment, which is one of the reasons that there's no transparency here, and rather than letting people see the bill and debate it, right, they want to rush it under the cloak of darkness through as fast as they can. So thank you very much, and I appreciate being here. Back to you, Kim.
Thank you, George. And now I'm going to turn it over to the operator to give instructions of how to ask questions.
Certainly, the floor is now open for your questions. If you have a question or comment, please press 7 on your telephone keypad.
All right. I think you heard a united voice both on the labor and environmental side. The Blue-Green Alliance has been working very hard on opposing Fast Track, getting the word out there. We've heard from the Natural Resources Defense Council, from the Sierra Club, United Steelworkers, the Communication Workers of America today about the serious concerns that both the labor and environmental community have regarding this Fast Track legislation.
Okay, there's a question from Ryan. Ryan, the floor is yours.
Hi, how are you all doing? Thanks very much for speaking. My question is, I'm sorry, can you hear me well?
Yes, and what publication are you?
International Trade Today.
Okay.
So my question refers to one of the final statements made there by, excuse me, sorry, I missed your name, with the Communications Worker of America, referring to moving the bill through under the cloak of darkness without adequate time for scrutiny. You know, this bill really has gone through regular order. And if we were to sit down, you know, everybody can sit down and analyze the bill. I mean, we're able to see the differences from previous iterations. So from a process standpoint, what really would you prefer? I mean, I'm not referring to your opposition, you know, to the legislation, but from a process standpoint, what would you prefer? Just more kind of time at committee or anything else?
Let me jump in on that, because it's Leo Dreyer from the Steelworkers, and we've been heavily involved in trade issues and filing trade cases and battling every trade agreement that's come up, because, as I said, let history be your guide. And when you ask what we'd like, we would like the whole of agreement to be negotiated in public, the whole of the agreement to be, if you think it's so good, if you think it's got objectives that will raise workers' wages, will grow jobs in America, not export jobs, it'll stop the downward pressure, it'll stop companies from suing our countries, and it will lay out an environmental enforcement program that violating environmental regulations could be a trade matter that we could take in front of the International Trade Commission. Those are all things that could be done in the open. What we've got is congressman after congressman, not just those of us on the phone, but members of Congress from both parties who have been denied the right to see the whole agreement. They've been, their staff have been denied the right to see the whole agreement. They've been able to go in and look at it, some of them, been able to go in and look at it, but not take notes and do whatever. That's not the kind of agreement that should stand up to scrutiny. It's the kind of agreement that if it was put in front of the American people and they could, and put in front of the Congress so they could read it inside and out, it's an agreement that wouldn't pass. So it's not about all the aspirational things that are in it. As Michael Bruin said, there's been all kinds of aspirational agreements or aspirational objectives in previous trade agreements. None of them have been met. So I come back to the same thing with all the members of Congress, either party. If you care about American workers, if you care about income inequality, if you care about domestic manufacturing, if you care about domestic services, let history be your guide. And let's not forget that they want this agreement to last 6 years because they've got other trade agreements that are in the can being negotiated, and they would like those trade agreements to not see the light of day of Congress either. So that, if you ask what we want, that's what the steelworkers want.
Well,
Leo's got it exactly right, and this is George Cole at the CWA, and I think Leo's got it exactly right. What we have is a case where, as Leo said, you've got to build a trade agreement, the TPP, that's been negotiated for 6 years. None of that is transparent. None of that has seen the light of day. None of that's really being discussed. And instead of fast track, and then you have put forward, even though it's regular order, you have it put forward in a rush to get it done, which is unseemly in terms of Washington, such that even there was a hearing before the bill was printed, right? That's how quickly they want to get it done. So it's not like that even a matter of studying, you know, the 113 pages of the bill, what's aspirational versus what's enforceable, all the different elements that would go into a really considered debate about what are the goals, what are the mechanisms around the goals, isn't happening. And it's because they know, as Leo said, 6 years have gone by in terms of negotiations. None of that is available for anybody to inspect. And so that's really the unseemly part of this.
Okay, and if I could just do one quick follow-up, Mr. And thank you very much for that. Mr. Gerard, are you, on a separate note, with regard to the Customs Reauthorization Bill, are you heartened that currency is now included in that bill? Is that a piece of legislation that United Steelworkers are jumping behind? And does the currency amendment kind of encourage you to maybe support it more?
Well, let me be blunt. We're not going to support fast track. And again, it's a currency aspiration. It's not a provision that will be enforced. And we've got some places of the so-called Enforce Act that are in there. But again, I want to be really clear. These are aspirations. It doesn't say in a very clear and concise way, if these objectives are not met by a certain date, that something unpleasant would happen about the trade issue. We've had the Senate vote by a big vote for currency reform. We've had the House vote for it by currency reform in two separate bills over the last 4 years. And so that this piece on currency is acknowledgement that currency manipulation exists, but it's not an enforcement at this point in time. And so
the currency amendment is on customs reauthorization. It's not really affiliated with TPA, and it seems as though those two bills aren't going to advance in tandem in the way that TPA and TAA are.
That's right.
So specifically on customs reauthorization, does United Steelworkers have a position on that?
You were cutting in and out with some of what your last comment was. I heard TAA and then I didn't hear.
Oh, sorry. I just said on customs reauthorization specifically, the bill with the currency provision, do you have a particular position on that?
No, not yet. And look, as far as we're concerned, we want to have a strong, enforceable piece of legislation that currency manipulation is a countervailing duty if we need to bring that in a trade case. As an example, right now in Japan, a car coming from Japan to America has several thousand dollars of economic advantage because of the Japanese manipulation of their currency. We all know that the Chinese do it. They've got a mercantilist approach. And so when they're manipulating their currency to give them an advantage in our market, that should be a countervailable action. And until we see something that is that strong, we're not going to be supportive. We think that, that's the least that we should be able to get. There's a whole set of other issues around trade that aren't part of this discussion, but our antiquated trade laws, even with the current trade deals that we have, in order to enforce these trade deals, we have to appear before Commerce and the ITC, and we have to demonstrate that we've in fact lost jobs so that we can succeed in a trade case. Well, if that's the thing that we have to do to succeed in a trade case, then we clearly have the wrong approach to trade. And right now we've got 8,000 people laid off in the steel industry at U.S. Steel. South Korea is dumping steel in this market. The Chinese are dumping steel in this market. We've got trade cases that are going forward. We've got 50 million Chinese tires that were dumped into this market. In less than 6 months, we've got trade case going forward. We've got cases in the paper sector where the Chinese are cheating, cases going forward. Our own enforcement laws are broken and inadequate. So we've got a number of issues that aren't addressed in this trade deal and won't be addressed in this trade deal. And we're expected to hold our nose and vote for it? Well, that's not going to happen.
Operator, I think we have a few additional questions.
Okay, thank you. Again, as a reminder for a question or comment, press 7 on your telephone keypad. The next question, the floor is yours. Meredith, your phone is muted.
Oh, yes, sorry. I heard all static. I'm sorry. Hi, yeah, my question is for... Well, any of you really, I was wondering if you had a sense of how many Democrats you think are going to be voting for and against Fast Track as it's being marked up right now. I've heard, there's been reports of various numbers, and Speaker Boehner has an opinion about how many he'd like to see or would, but if any of you have a sense of how the sort of the whip count is right now on the Fast Track. Thanks.
This is Leo Gerard, if anybody else wants to comment. We do not have a specific whip count as of right now. We've got, let me just say that we've got literally hundreds of our, if not thousands of our members as we speak, who are calling their members of Congress, calling their colleagues to call their members of Congress. And we were told by some in the leadership last week, and in fact one person in leadership told us he doubted that there'd be three hands full of Democrats that would be for Fast Track. So we're not sure where that count is, and we're certainly not sure of where the Republican count is. And it's pretty shocking that a lot of the Tea Party members of the Republican Congress want to see every line of the nuclear deal negotiated and every comma of the nuclear deal negotiated with Iran, but I can't believe that they're not interested in seeing every line of a trade deal that could cost their constituents thousands of jobs. So we don't know where the Republican count is.
Great, thank you.
All right. Operator, one more question.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you all for participating on the call today. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.